on the front line of freedom. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting today with 92-year-old Ken Miller of Oakhurst, California, originally from Dover, Ohio. That's a small town about 80 miles south of Cleveland, not far from Canton and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you caught the beginning of the program, you heard Ken remember playing sports in high school, looking up to the guy a couple years ahead of him at Dover High, Frank Doc Kelker, an African-American trailblazer, one of the first above-the-rim basketball players and a multi-sport star at Case Western before World War II. Ken was an apprentice carpenter before World War II, but after enlisting in the Marine Corps, he'd have to say goodbye to his young wife, Ruth, when he shipped out for the Pacific. And heading into Saipan in June of 1944, he received a letter informing him that he was a father. His daughter Karen had arrived, but he'd have to survive the war if he was ever going to meet her. Surviving Saipan would not be easy. After the Navy shelled the island intensely for days, about 70,000 American troops stormed its beaches, including a tall 22-year-old Marine named Ken Miller. The battle raged on for more than 3 weeks, and in the final days of that battle for Saipan, it turned into a very desperate situation for the Japanese, whose strength of 30,000 men had been reduced to about 3,000 or 4,000. You've heard many a veteran express on Hometown Heroes over the years an awareness that their enemy in the Pacific would fight to the death and even consider it a privilege to die for the emperor. On Saipan, Japanese General Yoshitsugu Saito called for a gyokusai, or bonsai charge. You've heard of those before. You know what that is. And here was the quote. Directly from the orders of General Saito, he said, "Whether we attack or whether we stay where we are, there is only death. However," he continued, "in death there is life. I will advance with you to deliver another blow to the American devils and leave my bones on Saipan as a fortress of the Pacific." Of course, those Japanese soldiers obeyed the order of General Saito, and the final bonsai push came right in the direction of our guest today, 92-year-old Ken Miller. And here's what Leatherneck magazine had to say about it nearly 70 years ago. Here's the quote. "For 10 harrowing hours, Sergeant Miller's howitzer battery was completely isolated from help as the screaming enemy overran the area." Early on in that 10-hour stretch, Ken was wounded in the leg, as you heard about. So, Ken, you're hurt. The enemy keeps coming and coming and coming. You've seen so many of your fellow Marines killed, and you want to help the ones who aren't killed but are wounded like you.
Trying to take care of them. And as you go past them, they get wounded again because they're shooting at you and hitting them.
And they can't defend themselves. And you guys, from what I read, you had a pretty unique way of improvising some kind of shelter or protection.
Airplane parts, wood, the frames and stuff that they used. And we used it in terms of protecting them.
And even putting that together and stacking that on top of each other, you're probably getting shot at, right?
Yes. It was a day of misery.
Well, yeah, and I realize you can chuckle a little bit about it now and because you lived through it, but I just don't know that any of us can imagine what that's like. I mean, if you talk about staring death in the face, this is it, isn't it?
Death. You didn't think about anything else except saving the guys back there.
We're talking about 10 hours or so that this lasted, but how long did it feel like?
20 years or lifetime.
You were hit, and you got the Purple Heart for that, but there had to be some others that came pretty close to hitting you again. What were some of the other moments where it almost got you?
It happens so fast. You can't, there's no way in the world you can, if somebody said, how many times did you get hit or whatever? You're not even thinking about that. You just, I'm still breathing. I'm still trying whatever I can try in order to use whatever I can use in order to stay alive and keep my buddies alive, more important.
So you used all the ammunition you had, probably?
Yeah, I used Japanese, and used their weapons, anything I could do. You just keep moving and keep trying, thinking about the guys that's back there still need help, they need protection, and they need water.
And you need some help. Were you starting to think that the help was never going to come?
But about, three or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, tanks came, American tanks, and we picked them up on the way back and forth, That was the end of it. And I sort of lost my thinking there. I was sort of not conscious of what everything was happening, for a couple of days. I did not go on the sick bay ships that they had. I stayed there, and somehow I just worked through the whole thing, and unbelievable, but, you know, you just wonder how you do it.
I'm wondering how you did it.
Moving about, I run into a Japanese tank between me and the boys in the sick bay there and what have you. You call it whatever you want.
This is still during that battle, or this afterwards?
No, this is during the battle.
Yeah.
And you go around, just around all kind of trees and stuff like that, you know, and to where as you don't think too much, no wham, and there's a tank. But the tank, with his barrel of his gun, but it didn't have any ammunition. And here I am.
So you were alone against the barrel of a tank. What did you think was going to happen?
In war, you never know what's going to happen. And when it presents itself, you got to be ready. You got to be ready. I made tracks through the, you know, people, and no firing, no nothing on his behalf.
I guess someone was looking out for you.
Eyes was pretty big on the other guy, too. It's not a one-way street.
No. Yeah, I could imagine both of your eyes got big. And, you know, you mentioned the American tank showing up. Do you think you'd be sitting here talking to me if those tanks hadn't shown up?
No, because it had something I had to give, because it was too hot of a seat to be in.
Even with that, even with those tanks showing up, there were very few of you that actually survived. How many?
Well, I don't like to try to give numbers because I don't know. I wasn't counting, but it wasn't very many. They gave me four out of whatever on the line, and I was one of them. But God, he's got his ways, and you try to figure it out. You wear yourself out trying to figure it out. Just take what he gives you and go. And you don't want to think he's prejudiced or anything like that, but I did rely on that a lot. I looked up many times and said, thank you, Lord.
When did you realize how many of your outfit had not survived?
Oh, right away, because they were going on to the ships, medical, back to Hawaii and Pearl Harbor and places like that, needed all the medical they could get. One thing about it, there's no Air Force to speak of, no air support of the Japanese.
I imagine you've read some of the things about that battle on Saipan. You've read about what you and those other guys did and what you survived. Is it hard for you to believe, even all these years later, that you did make it through that? Because it seems like you beat some pretty significant odds.
It's unbelievable. How we got through that day, I don't know. But we did. Of course, we lost a lot of people, too. But they lost over 3,000, probably, something like that. Once again, I didn't count them. And same thing with our troops, I didn't count them.
When you realized that your friend Eric had passed, I mean, I get the sense that that's the one that hit you the hardest. What did that do to you to realize that he was gone?
Last time you saw him, he was behind a palm tree or something like that, you know, firing or whatever. And most of his buddies was also like myself, around the same area. But he exposed himself somehow, or somehow they got to him.
And the fact that you named your son after him speaks to the esteem that you held him in. But have you ever thought what he might have done if he came home from the war? What kind of life he might have led? What kind of impact he might have had?
I would have no idea, other than I know that he was a good man when he was here, and I liked him a lot.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind he would say the same of you. Before we move on to Tinian and the rest of your service during the war, I want folks to get a taste here on the radio of what you experienced in Washington, D.C. Listeners to Hometown Heroes have heard quite a bit about Honor Flight, and wherever you're listening today, there is an Honor Flight hub near you wanting to make it possible for World War II veterans to see their memorial in our nation's capital. Ken got to go last October on the inaugural Central Valley Honor Flight. You can find the video of what you're about to hear on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. But after visiting the National World War II Memorial, the veterans enjoyed lunch at the Library of Congress, courtesy of their congressman. And at the tail end of a parade of speakers, Congressman Jim Costa took to the podium, Ken had no idea this was about to happen.
Today, we have a special purpose for one of our veterans among us. William Kenneth Miller not only earned a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star for his courageous actions under enemy fire during World War II, but Miller was one of approximately 12 survivors out of 300 in the 2nd Marine Division who fought on Saipan July 17, 1944. The rendering of the painting that we are presenting to Mr. Miller depicts the counterattack of H Battery. Mr. Miller is featured there as the gunner in the painting. The fact was is that that day Miller was wounded. The British artist John Hamilton was commissioned to paint it. The individual here that we are honoring is seeing the painting for the first time today. He was assigned to the 3rd Battalion, 10th Marines, 2nd Marine Division, Fleet Marine Force. Miller, as we said, was only one of a dozen survivors out of 300 in his unit in Saipan. Ladies and gentlemen, this painting is in the Pentagon, and it is in a place where it would be hard to bring all of you to actually see it. So on behalf of Congressman Denham, who Congressman Miller is a constituent of, Congressman Jeff Denham asked Congressman Valadao and myself to make this presentation. And thank you, thank you, thank you for a job well done. We honor you today as we honor all of you.
Once that applause died down, Ken's guardian on the trip, his grandson-in-law, Larry Smith, helped him back to his seat where he stared at that painting depicting the scene he's described for us today. What we haven't explained is that this was more than just a painting for Ken. We're going to explore this topic a little more with Ken in a bit, but he had seen a very small black and white impression of it on the front of a book about Saipan. He'd always wanted to see the real thing, of course, and unbeknownst to him, a man named Joe Boland had heard about Ken's desire and actually hunted down the painting, making that special presentation in Washington possible. And before the veterans left the Library of Congress, Central Valley Honor Flight President Al Perry, who also had a hand in coordinating this presentation of the painting, he gave the veterans and the guardians a little bit of the backstory.
And my last word about Mr. Miller, because it put new meaning on Honor Flight for me when he called me not once but twice. And he said, I want to go to Washington so I can touch or kiss, I think he said, the picture of the Battle of Saipan. And I could tell he had broken down in tears on the phone. And he called me back a week later and kind of said, how are you coming? I'm coming to Washington to touch that picture and say farewell to my 100 comrades who were killed in that battle. So we made it our mission. I promised you we'd go by taxi if we had to find it. So, but I think what he has done epitomizes what all of you have done. You all have stories. I've read all the applications.
Well, and if you listen to this program on a regular basis, you've heard quite a few of those stories. That was Al Perry of Central Valley Honor Flight after that special presentation to Ken Miller at the Library of Congress. Again, you can see that video on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, as well as some photos of the painting in question. We'll discuss that whole experience with Mr. Miller some more when we come back. And before we're done, we'll even hear from his daughter, the one he didn't get to meet until he got home from World War II. As for Honor Flight, hopefully you're already aware of it, but by going to the National Honor Flight website, that's honorflight.org, you can find links to a hub close to you. The sooner that you fill out that application for the World War II veteran in your life, the sooner he or she will have a chance to visit the National World War II Memorial. Back with the rest of Ken Miller's story when Hometown Heroes comes down the home stretch after this.
When you say the words hearing aid, people think of that big bulky banana behind the ear, when the reality is today's modern hearing aid is completely unnoticeable.
That's Nathan Love from locally owned Sound Advice with some news worth hearing.
We have access to all the major manufacturers, all the different styles. We carry a product called Lyric, which is a very new type of technology, and it suits a particular individual that is not able to wear a traditional type of hearing device. The Lyric product is the future of hearing devices.
Sound Advice offers its patients the best possible care and new innovative products. Call today to schedule a free hearing test and consultation. 579-1310.
We're not high pressure in any way. We're patient advocates, and we want to find each individual the best possible solution for their scenario.
Call Sound Advice today at 579-1310 or visit online at hearingaidsfresno.com.